magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends. Eli, Jerry, Mike, most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? This is welcome to the Dutch Arcade Show, episode number 477. This is take two of trying to start the podcast.
See if because you slam your desk again and
my microphone keeps unplugging itself, or my very gentle human motions are causing it to come jostled loose.
You got to get one of these streamer arm setups that I got, man. That's
I do, but I don't know if that'll help with my existing setup if the port is just that jacked. I guess I can try though. Those arms are like $20. So
yes, I see.
But anyway, welcome to the show. I'm totally thrown off now. What am I talking about?
Well, I've recently gotten into sports betting. We can talk about that.
Let's talk about sports betting.
Jared, let me just load up my DraftKings for you and show you what it looks like to be a professional gambler.
Yeah? Seems like a slippery slope.
It's actually not a slippery slope when all you do is win. Can you? I don't know if you can see my...
All I do is win, win, win.
My screen or not? See yeah. how it says win?
I see a reflection of a win, lovely forest outside
win,
your house.
Win, win.
Oh, you are winning.
Win, win. That's all You're I do is win, winner. Jared. It's free money.
It's exciting.
I think everyone should get DraftKings, man. You just put your bank account info in and they just give you money.
Hey, everyone, just gamble. It's super easy. And you just win all the time.
No, my thing is like, so there's, I think it's r/sportsbook or something like that. People post like extremely elaborate rationalizations for like, oh, here's what you should bet. All right, there's three hockey games tonight. Here's how you should bet and here's why. And I'm like, fuck it. Good enough for me, man. If you wrote 2,000 words about how good the Nashville Predators are, sure, I'll throw $10 at them. Fuck it.
It's not the worst strategy for gambling I've heard. Yeah, that's funny. Hopefully your winning streak continues.
I don't know how I can lose.
I don't know. Nobody ever thinks, how can they lose?
How could I ever lose?
Next week's show is for those watching the video. We talked about this before, but you're in your new house now, and so next week it's going to be like a sidewalk.
Yeah. I'll be recording from the van.
Recording from a van that's now your home because DraftKings took a turn for the worst.
All right, Jared, I'm on the Walmart Wi-Fi in the parking lot.
Hopefully that's not the case, but that's very cool. I actually thought of something to talk about that I meant to talk about last week, but we were so jam-packed with stuff.
Is it about all you do is win? I mean, look at this, dude. New York Islanders, win. Winnipeg Jets, win. Nashville Predators, win.
You picked
win.
The Sharks, I hope.
I didn't bet on the Sharks.
No, the Sharks won. You would have won if you picked the Sharks.
Well, so. You know, next time, if you want me to bet on your thing, you gotta convince me. You gotta convince me with a really long...
Sharks
analysis.
The Sharks are a very dicey bet this year. I wouldn't bet on
them. Indiana Pacers, +3 point spread, won that one. Yesterday, the St. Louis Blues, or I'm sorry, day before yesterday, St. Louis Blues won that one.
Yeah.
All I do is win, Jared.
Yeah. I hope it keeps up for you. So anyway, speaking of wasting money like an idiot, I ended up buying AirPods Max.
Oh my God, you are an idiot.
No.
You have AirPods Max. Why aren't you using them for this? Hook them to your computer, you dummy.
They don't come for till next month. Oh. They are extreme back ordered. But yeah, it's funny because someone should make a compilation of the various shows where they got announced and I was like, I don't even really like them. And then the next week where it's like, oh, I don't know. Kind of think they sound cool.
And then I just hate money.
Fast forward to today where it's like, I bought them. But yeah, it's interesting because I watched, you know, all the videos you could possibly watch about them. And everybody's got a video about them. And came up with some interesting conclusions, which I know we had a really huge discussion about them when they were first announced. I think an entire show basically talking about them. But yeah, I think one thing I realized is that everybody like complains about how much they are, but then compares them to cheaper options that
here we go.
They objectively say sound worse. You know,
here we go.
But it's just funny though, because I feel like if Apple released a car, you wouldn't like compare it to like a Honda Civic, even though Honda Civic's a great car, but that's like on the cheaper end of the spectrum of nice cars. And then there's like BMWs, which you also wouldn't argue like, why is a BMW cost 50 grand when you can get a Kia for 11, you know what I mean? Or whatever. But I feel like everybody, and I guess part of it could be because the ones that get compared to the Sonys and the Boses and one other ones that's like the old, all the like market leaders in the noise canceling headphone market. That's why you compare it to them, is because they are like the mainstream option or whatever. But watching all these videos and stuff, what I've come to find out is that there's actually like many product categories. There's several tiers of these noise canceling Bluetooth headphones or whatever. And there's the $300 to $400 range, which is what everyone compares the AirPods to. But then there's kind of like a $500 to $800, and then like an $800 to above a grand. They unsurprisingly, they get nicer the more you spend on them or whatever. And so there's a one reviewer in particular who compared them to the normal like lower end of these things, but then also compared them to a couple in the mid range, which is like one was $500 set and one was like a $800 or $900 set of headphones. And I feel like that's more the appropriate comparison, right? Because when he did it, when he compared it to those ones, he was like, I actually think the AirPods sound better than this $500 Bang & Olufsen or whatever, I forget the brand of them, but he actually was like, the AirPods sound slightly better, but these ones sound good too. And then he compares them to the $900 ones, and it's like, oh, the $900 ones sound better, but that the AirPods can hang with them, which I think is impressive. And then you're like, oh, well, a $550 pair of headphones can hang with a $900 one that's in the same sort of like tier, right?
So riddle me this. What high-end audio listening are you doing that requires these headphones?
Well, I like music to not sound like shit.
Do you think your music sounds like shit now with the headphones that you have?
Absolutely. The really? Sonys don't sound good at all.
I thought you had AirPods Pro, though.
The AirPods Pro sound good, yeah. But I don't always want to wear, I need over the ear headphones for certain, has better noise canceling and more comfort. When the AirPods get tiring, I put on my over ear headphones. But,
Jerry, this all sounds good, but can you imagine if you would have put $500 on Winnipeg last night instead of buying these headphones? You could have gotten you and Pam a set.
I guess, but, not with no interest financing through my Apple card.
It depends. Well, you just need to find the right bookie. You get no interest bets.
But anyway, it's been quite a journey learning about all the AirPods stuff. And when I bought my Sonys, I was real excited for them. Comfort-wise, I like how they look. The noise canceling is really good. But same sort of thing. I watched a million reviews for them and stuff like that. And it was so many of them were like, oh, these sound so good or whatever. And I remember when I got them being like really disappointed with how they sounded. I mean, they're okay, but it's like very muddy. It's just not good music. And when you're listening to music for enjoyment and to like block out the rest of the world, that matters. And then ever since getting the AirPods Pro, these frequently surprise me with how good they sound. And then even the noise canceling and stuff works super well for being like in-ear earbud things. But I think the tipping point was how awesome they are to use when you're like deep in the Apple ecosystem, because they instantly switch between my Mac and between my iPhone, and they instantly pair, and I just got to stick them in my ears and I'm ready to go or whatever. And so the Sonys, it's kind of much more of a pain in the ass to get them to work with all my stuff and switch them and stuff like that. It's definitely not as seamless. And so just kind of that fact alone, coupled with having them sound better, kind of had me pull the trigger on the AirPods or whatever. And then I can, you know, I can always get rid of my Sonys and still get a good chunk of money back that I paid for them. But yeah, that Apple ecosystem stuff really is a big deal when you're in the mix with it. So the AirPods Pro have really showed me that the last couple months since I got these. And wouldn't want to give that up, you know what I mean? That to me, even if you are considering these very expensive compared to cheaper options, that alone I think is worth the extra money just for the ease of use and stuff like that as an Apple user. So, but anyway, we'll talk about them again in a month when they come finally, and I can actually listen to them.
That's annoying. It's going to take so long to get them.
I'm hoping it's like same thing with the M1 Mac. I had to order it, and it was like, said it was supposed to come December 31st. It ended up coming December 14th or something like that. So it was a couple of weeks early. So I'm kind of hoping these ones, I think it's February 19th to the 26th is the window. So hopefully more like early February, and they'll come a little early, but we'll see. So anyway, that's my headphone journey story.
That's cool. I it's so hard for me to buy stuff that I can't get instant satisfaction from. It seems like it's less fun buying it, right? Like,
well, I agree. And it also gives you time to like sit and think about it and be like, do I really want this thing, or am I not as excited as I was, you know, a couple of days ago or whatever?
Yeah.
Although with these, I'm still excited, but the slippery slope is when you start looking at the scalper stuff, because I could have, if I wanted to spend another couple $100 extra, got them like immediately.
That's a dangerous game, Jared.
Couldn't bring myself to do something like that. So,
I think when I moved down here to Tennessee, I wanted to get a suppressor for my hunting rifle, and because you don't need to wear any kind of ear protection when you're out in the woods fucking around. They're super duper illegal in Illinois, as they are in California, you know, and like there's no way you could really get one. And here I was like, oh, let me look into this. It's cool. It's illegal in Tennessee now. And God, the process is like a year of waiting and forms and everything.
Really?
Else. Yeah. And I was just like, really? I don't even care anymore. But the crazy part is, if I would have done it when we first moved down here a year ago, I'd have it now. So
yeah, now you know.
Whatever.
Well, that's wild. So well, I guess they don't want people to be silent assassins. They want it to be easy for you.
It's not how they work. It's still extremely loud. But on the topic of spending money on dumb shit, should we talk about this GPD Win 3? Did you actually get this, or did you just order it?
No, I haven't. I'm not going to get this one. I just thought we'd talk about it because we've talked about my Macs before, which I love. And I'd probably go for something like this if I didn't have the Macs already. But then again, this thing is pretty damn expensive for what it is. But it's also really remarkable what it is. So GPD makes these little handheld gaming things. Right now, I have the Macs, which is basically like a, it's I think an 8-inch or 9-inch screen.
Oh, wow, they're $1,000. That's
mini laptop with game controls built into the system itself. That's kind of their thing. GPD actually stands for Gamepad Digital.
This thing looks really thick.
It's extremely thick. So, the crazy thing about this is it's the size of a Switch Lite. So if you've ever held a Switch Lite, this actually fits in most universal Switch Lite cases. So like the size of it is similar. It's probably like two Switch Lites thick, or maybe even a little more than two. It's a thick boy. But it kind of has to be because it's a full blown Windows 10 PC with, Intel's latest Tiger Lake processors in it. And, watching the guy that I follow, the Fox on YouTube, who's like super into all this stuff and was really helpful when I was getting the Macs and, helping tweak it out and performance stuff or whatever. So he has one of these. He has two of them, actually, both versions of it, because there's kind of like one with a lesser processor and one with a beefier processor. But so he's been running all sorts of crazy tests on them and stuff like that. And anyway, the performance on this thing is bananas, especially when you take into consideration the size of it. I mean, a Switch Lite is a pretty small little thing. And this thing can run some serious games, serious PC games, with pretty little compromises. And he actually got it to run up to 40 watts and still dissipate all the heat without throttling the chip or anything like that.
What's, which is resolution unheard is the screen?
Of. It's a 720p. Oh, so,
well, is that impressive that it can just run at 720p?
Yeah, it's a 5.5-inch screen, so it's not much bigger than like a phone. So at that size, you're not really noticing when things aren't running. I mean, 1080p wouldn't even be very helpful for you, and you'd just be taxing the hardware more. But like, the fact that this thing, it doesn't heat up and it's running full blown, you know, PC components on the inside of it is pretty remarkable. It has a really crazy heat dissipation system set up in it or whatever, which really just makes me, I mean, the Max does too. The Max doesn't heat up at all. But it does kick some serious fan noise. And so, this guy does too. It's got a, you know, pretty audible fan on it when you really hit higher temperatures or whatever, but because it's using Intel's new Tiger Lake chip, it actually performs much, much better at much lower wattages compared to what's in my Win Max. So my Win Max fans will ramp up, you know, in like the approaching the 20 watt range or whatever. This little guy, you can keep in like the 12 to 15 range and still get the same kind of performance as I would get if I was running my Max at like 25 to 30 watts or whatever. So you're getting this really insane performance at much lower wattages, which translates to better battery life and less heat and less need for that fan to run.
This just makes me wonder like what this would look like if you could somehow buy like a M1 chip to put in it, right?
Someday that would be, yeah. The M1, I mean, it makes me wish Apple cared about gaming things like this, because I think I was just talking to somebody today about this, that if they made their own like slide out controls, like iPhone case type thing or whatever, or even a dedicated controller that came with Apple TVs or something, just anything to indicate that they care about Apple Arcade and their devices being gaming devices or whatever. But if you wanted to throw their computer hardware into something like this, they would do an amazing job at it. And yeah, an M1 cranking in this thing would be unreal. But as it is now, we have the technology that we have available to us. Someday I think everything will be ARM. And
the comments on the Kickstarter are something else. Like, this guy's complaining you can't use an external GPU when the thing is docked. It's like, what the buy a computer.
Well, the funny thing is you can. It's the dock that it comes with. It's just a dumb dock that you can add things to. It's not a Thunderbolt dock. But if you want to just, it's a Thunderbolt port on this. So if you want to just plug your eGPU into it with a Thunderbolt cable straight to it, you can do that. I think he's just mad that you can't dock it with the dock it comes with. I mean, you could buy a different dock if you really wanted. I don't know. You don't even have to buy it with a dock. You can save $50. But anyway, yeah, the other crazy thing about this is the screen slides up to reveal a touch keyboard, which apparently is super garbage, but at least it's there, because when you're PC gaming, you'll never know when sometimes you need to, it's handy to have a keyboard, right? And so it's cool that it's there if you need to input something real quick or whatever, but largely, this is kind of like gaming focused. So if I own this, like right now, like my Max, I just boot it up like a computer. I use it like a normal computer. But something like this, I'd probably set to boot straight into like Steam Big Picture or Play Night or some sort of front end system, and treat it like a game console more, and then just kind of pop into the keyboard occasionally when you had to. But it's definitely not like a play a game that requires a keyboard type of system. This is like a
I'm really surprised
screen.
There's not more complaints about the 720p screen. Like, to me, that would be like, what the hell are you guys thinking? Not just putting a 1080p screen on there.
Well, it's a interesting problem because GPD is small, and so they don't have these screens made for them. They find screens that are on the market already.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
And so there's not a whole lot of options when it comes to screens that are this size. And the funny thing is, same with my Macs and same with a few of their other devices, they're all portrait screens because they were made for tablets or phones.
Yep, okay.
And that so you have to actually tweak it in the BIOS, too, to make it flip to landscape and be normal. So like when you're rebooting your computer or something like that, it initially launches everything sideways because it thinks it's a portrait screen, because it is. Anyway, that's something.
First comment is a guy named Chris Yaddo. I don't know how you pronounce that. His comment is bongo farters, which I don't know if that's racist or not. And then the GPD people responded, thanks for your support.
The GPD people, they're funny. There's a serious language barrier. There was a lot of funny stuff that happened during the WinMax campaign too. But anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to talk about this because it just launched today, the Indiegogo for it. They already passed their goal, but their goal was $25,000. It was like a purposely low goal to set. They're currently at 1.4 million and about 1500 backers. So that's pretty good. I think the WinMax got up to like 4,000 backers or something like that. what surprises me most about this is there's several different options you can get. There's an 1165 G7 chip, which is the beefier one. Then there's 1135 G7 chip, which is $100 less. The funny thing is if you're using this as truly just a portable gaming system, there's not much difference at the kinds of wattages you'd be running between the two chips. Once you start getting past like the 20 watt or 25 watt threshold, you get better gains with the better chip. But you don't really want to do that because then you're eating into your battery life of this thing. So there's not a whole lot of reason, I would think, to buy the beefier one unless you were like wanted to have the extra power in case you wanted to play while plugged in or something like that. But by far the best selling one is the beefier one and the one that comes with the little dock thing, which is $950 for the whole package. I would have thought more people would go for the base model $800 one with no dock or anything. But that is not the case. So
I don't know. I feel like if you're $800 into something stupid, what's another 150?
Why not? 950. Yeah. Kind of a cool thing. I don't know. You can go buy Switch Lite for $200 and there's a huge library of games there too. So it's not like, you know, it's for somebody that truly wants a full blown PC and wants to be able to play all the PC games they already own, plus whatever else you can do on a PC. Compared to having to rebuy stuff on the Switch, which I've not been crazy about before, but it's a pretty cool thing. It's pretty remarkable the size of it, and how small it is and how efficient it is and how performative it is. I think everything is pretty cool. But like I said, I like my Macs. I like the form factor better of a little clamshell laptop as opposed to this sort of thing, this slide out Switch like shape. But the size of it was kind of enticing to me because it's small enough. You can kind of like, I don't know. The Max is small too. I mean, I can one hand it, but it's still substantial. I don't know. But, not like $1,000 interested. So,
yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Like these kind of things to me are like, oh wow, that's really cool. And I know if I got it, I'd use it for like a week and never touch it again.
Yeah.
But well, if I was super into PC gaming and like lived in a world where I had like a train commute every day and played cool games on this on the go, that would be really neat. I mean, because back when I was traveling, you know, when the world was normal, played the shit out of my Switch.
Right.
And now that we're at home all the time, I just basically just play my Xbox instead, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. And then there's a huge segment of people that buy things like this because they just like the tech and then they just like to tweak and mess with them and not necessarily even use them all that much, which is fine and has benefited me a lot with my WinMax by people coming up with like really cool like power profiles that I can use to get like more juice out of the battery or more performance out of the stuff or whatever. For somebody that's a dumb layman like me, it helps having these tech nerds just enjoy messing around with these things. It's to the benefit of the community. So anyway, GPD's new thing. There's also supposed to be a WinMax refresh this year with this same chip in it. And that will be hard to not try to upgrade to that because the performance increase is like a good 40% over what the WinMax is right now, which already I feel like is a really good performer. But if you could have that better performance, I think I'd probably trade up for something like that. But we'll see. That's supposed to be later this year. But right now, this is their thing. It's selling right now. This Indiegogo for it, 49 more days left. And then I think they're hoping to start shipping in May. So quite a ways out still. But still a pretty cool thing to keep your eye on if you like this sort of thing.
Oh, so speaking of these random handheld things, I found my fucking Game Boy Micro a couple days ago, man.
Oh, sell it. No, I'm just kidding. Hang on to it. The Game Boy Micro is cool. Like, it's too damn small to play on realistically, but it's such a, I love the size of it. I love how it feels in your hand. And obviously Nintendo with their D-pad and buttons and just build quality. It's something special.
Yeah. Virtual Boy too. I have Virtual Boy and almost all the North American games.
A Virtual Boy. Did you play it?
Yeah, I liked Virtual Boy when it was out. Have you
played since you found it?
Oh no, it didn't have any batteries in it. It takes like fucking like 8 AA batteries, and I was like, that's like, I need to go to the store and buy some, but
buy some rechargeables.
I think that I think I need to do some, like the thing that was really common with those is like the ribbon cable that connects one of the screen or something gets just like. It fails over time, and I'm pretty sure that like when I put it away, like the screen was failing and I didn't know what to do, but now it's like a common fix to
just get
a replacement cable on that and pop it in and be good to go.
Get that thing cranking, man. I've never played a Virtual Boy.
Oh really? It's I don't know, it was like it was really good when it was new, because VR was like, oh my God, this isn't like real 3D. Like, this is crazy. It's like the ball's coming right at your face when you play Mario Tennis. But now, you know, I bet if I went into now, I'd be like, this is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane how shit this is.
That'd be a cool novelty, though. I definitely get it working again. But that's cool that you have that. Speaking of weird things that I saw today, retro game stuff, there's an entire service that will that will swap out the guts of a Game Gear with a Raspberry Pi and screen. And so you basically have the Game Gear form factor.
That's a good idea.
It'll emulate a bunch of different systems and stuff like that. They have a version that's more modded that has four face buttons, which makes it a little more playable with more systems, because Game Gear only has two buttons. And that kind of restricts it to what you're able to play on it. But it's kind of cool. I was watching a guy who got his today. I was watching some video of him on YouTube. And it's pretty cool to see a Game Gear with like super good screen. And he's playing like Genesis games on it and stuff. He's playing like the original Sonic instead of like the Game Gear Sonic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Game Gear screen was so fucking bad.
It was bad and blurry and ghosted.
Like crazy. I remember I had this breakout game called Woody Pop that was probably my favorite game for the Game Gear. And like the ball would just like streak across the screen. I remember it was really not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved my Game Gear when I was a kid. I don't even know. Like, thinking back, I'm like, how did I have a Game Gear? I think they were like $200 or something like that. Like, I don't even know how I got one. But when I was a kid, I had a Game Gear and just played it plugged in next to my bed. Like, it was so pointless to try and take it out with batteries, because I think it took 8 AA's. And,
eight or six. Yeah, it was a lot. And it went fast.
It went super fast. But some of my best memories are laying in bed, all the lights are off. That screen was bright for the time, in color. I mean, I had a Game Boy too, which I obviously played way more. But there's some Game Gear games that I have really good fond memories of, and it just seemed like really high tech at the time. And I remember the TV tuner I wanted more than anything.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, I could watch TV on this. Wow.
I know. I remember but, thinking like, God, like watching TV on the school bus on the way home would be like revolutionary
yeah.
to be able to do.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if these modded ones are like $300 or something like that, but I feel like if they weren't that expensive, it'd be fun to do just for the nostalgia's sake to play on a Game Gear again. And
I don't know. I feel like at that point you might as well just like buy like one of these like purpose built, you know, like little gaming, portable gaming things that like just run at all the emulators and have, you know,
you
four
could,
face
but you're
buttons,
not
two
playing
triggers.
A Game Gear. That's
well, neither, yeah, but,
the nostalgia.
I mean, you're playing one of those, but it's just in a Game Gear case. Like, I don't think that really counts, you know, but.
Then you don't know, man. You've never tried to stick a Game Gear in your pocket.
It's true.
You got to know what that's like.
It's true.
Actually, there's some cool things happening in that little retro emulator gadget space with a lot of cool things coming out where I think right now, like, kind of you top out around the PlayStation 1 and a little bit of N64. and then depending on what route you want to take, there's a few that can go up to, like, Dreamcast. And stuff like that in terms of what it's able to do. But I think this year is going to bring some ones that'll go a little bit beyond that, up into like PSP territory and stuff like that, which I'll buy one of those. I mean, the little RG350s and stuff are like pretty rad. I mean, they're small enough to throw in your pocket, but beefy enough to play like so much more stuff than you know, normal things. So, anyway, let's move on to talk about actual mobile gaming stuff. I guess all of this really was mobile gaming talk if you really think about it. But
I do have one question for you. So I learned something today.
What's that?
You know the steakhouse Ruth's Chris?
Yeah.
So I always thought it was Ruth Chris, like the name. Like that was but Ruth is possessive of Chris in the name.
Yeah.
So what is a Chris Steakhouse?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I've looked up the origin story of that name before, but it's not coming to me now, but it is Ruth's Chris. It sounds really stupid to say. I've eaten there a couple of times. It's pretty darn good.
It's
expensive
Chris
though.
Steakhouse.
I don't even know if it meant that.
Oh, it was originally called Chris Steakhouse, and then
and Ruth got it.
Yeah, something like that.
Ruth, divorced mother of two, mortgaged her home to buy a 60-seat restaurant in New Orleans named Chris Steakhouse.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, literally Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It was just the name of it before she bought it. And she threw her name on the top. I think that's awesome.
Sure.
That is a rad way to name something.
I hate when I realize like I've been mispronouncing something like literally my entire life and no one ever said anything to me about it. Like how many people have just, I guess I don't talk about that often, but like how many people have been like, this fucking dipshit doesn't even know the name of this restaurant.
Ruth Chris. Expensive steakhouse. But anyway, moving on from steakhouses to mobile gaming stuff. I only had a few things to talk about this week, which is probably for the best. so this PS4 exclusive game that came out a couple of years ago, a full motion video thriller called Erica, launched on mobile this week. And it's kind of funny because it was PS4 exclusive, but it was one of those games that had like an official companion app that you could actually control the game with through iPhone or Android. And what's kind of unique about this game, first of all, full motion video games have like made a huge comeback in the last 5 or so years. Like, it's kind of like, you know, they were such a laughingstock genre for so long because the early 90s full motion video game explosion was filled with so much bad stuff that it's kind of like was hard to recover, I guess. But I also think that beyond just having like better technology now, to make full motion video stuff. Like, people are using it in more interesting ways that makes more sense, aside from like, it's a game, but there's real live action scenes in between or whatever, you know, which I feel like was kind of like the gimmick of it in the original days, was just like, wow,
yeah,
a live action scene of real people. Holy crap. It's grainy as hell, but whatever.
Yeah, like, so anyway. I remember playing like Sega CD the first time and just getting like that like 6 seconds of video and like Sewer Shark and being like, holy shit.
I remember going to Egghead Software. I don't even know if they're still around anymore, but there was a software.
I bought my Zip Drive there.
Yeah, they had a demo of the Sega CD that I'd go in and just marvel at Sewer Shark running or whatever. But yeah, so anyway. What's kind of interesting about Erica is that it's a full motion video game that has kind of like branching paths based on you know, making the decisions you make throughout the game or whatever. And there's like 10 different endings and there's a bunch of hidden stuff you can find. And so it's kind of like a choose your own adventure full motion video game. But then their really unique thing about it is that they have this special technique where they film certain parts of the game and then make them interactive. And so like one of the examples you see in the trailer is like flicking open a Zippo lighter, like the flip top of a lighter. And by way of the companion app on your phone, you could actually use the touchscreen to do that. And so it's a real live action shot of a Zippo being opened, but you could actually control by touch the actual opening motion of it. And there's some other examples too of like you untie a present. So you actually put your fingers on the screen and pull the two parts of the ribbon apart to actually untie the present or whatever. And the game is just filled with all sorts of these little scenes where you're actually reaching in and touching and controlling the full motion video part of the game. Just those little sections of it. And so that was a pretty cool idea, like something to add to this genre that makes it a little bit different, and also something that uses a touchscreen super well. Because I think on the PS4, that sort of stuff's just matched to the, you know, to the analog sticks or whatever, mm-hmm. which I guess works, but is probably not as cool as like actually reaching out and touching something on a touchscreen. So it doesn't surprise me at all that they'd want to bring this game to iOS, because it has all that touch functionality stuff built into it anyway. And so far, people have been playing this, seem to really like it. It seems to be one of the better full motion video games out there, with a really interesting story, good acting. The main actress seems really good. And the only problem I've heard so far is that there's kind of a weird bug, or I don't know if it's just a weird thing where the game will stop to download new parts of the game as you're playing. And so if you're not on a good connection, it can like literally stop you in your tracks, like mid, you know, game, to like try and download some more stuff. And I guess it's like really kind of immersion breaking. So I don't know, that's something to be aware of. And it's something that the developers are looking into to try and fix or whatever. Hmm. But, other than that, this seems like a pretty cool game. Also cool is that it's free to download and try, and then you can just buy the whole game, with an in-app purchase or whatever.
That's cool.
So yeah, if you like this sort of thing, I think even just playing the demo portion to see how the like interactive parts work is really neat. Cause I think there's a lot more you can do, with future games with stuff like that. Of course they've like patented the hell out of their technology that they use to do all this stuff, but, makes me excited for kind of like, you know, what the future could hold for other games too. But anyway, game's called Erica. I think technically it's called Erica, a Thriller Adventure or something like that. And free to try, so worth checking out.
Yeah, that seems neat. I always like the full motion video games, but I think maybe mm-hmm. that's because I just have like a soft spot for like how hot that gimmick was that one time.
Yeah, for sure.
Like how like truly, I mean like, God, between games like Sewer Shark and like when arcades started getting a tiny bit of like full motion video on them, it was like, oh my God. Like, I don't know. But now it's like the novelty. I don't know. It would be interesting to talk to someone that's like, you know, a teenager now and be like, does this do anything for you? Cause it'd probably just be like, right. I don't know. This seems dumb.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. So announced this week, Titan Quest Legendary Edition is launching on February 2nd. Funny story, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast before, but Titan Quest has had a tumultuous time on the App Store. Mm-hmm. It originally launched in 2016, a port of the original PC game, which launched in 2006, and was .mu. It was published under .mu's account. And .mu's, of course, really proficient at bringing old games to new platforms and stuff like that. They haven't done a whole bunch of stuff on mobile in the last few years. They've kind of moved on to Switch and PC and stuff. But anyway, they brought the original Titan Quest to iOS back in 2016. And it was fine. It was definitely buggy. But it was also, like, at the same time, like, impressive a game like this was running on an iPhone. And at the time, there was, like, no other... This is like a Diablo-like dungeon crawler, hack and slash dungeon crawler with tons of loot and stuff like that. And many consider it one of the only worthy competitors to actual Diablo. And so to have a game like that, fully premium, with the depth of an actual PC game, was really, really impressive back in 2016. And anything even somewhat similar to it was always like a free-to-play, grindy type game. 100%. You know what I mean? So. Right. Yeah, if you wanted like a premium Diablo-like game on mobile, Titan Quest was kind of like the option. So you could sort of look past some of its more buggy parts and its glitches and stuff like that. And you could also kind of look past that it was just the base vanilla original game and didn't even include, you know, a big expansion that came out the following year on PC that they added a lot to the game. But even all that stuff aside, it was still like a really good experience on mobile. And so a couple of years later, the .mu, I don't know what their deal was. I don't know if they had a contract was up that, you know, for them to bring it to mobile or something like that. But the game didn't really get too many updates. You know, full screen iPhones came along in 2017. This never got updated for them and stuff like that. And then all the bugs and glitches that people have been noting since the game came out never got fixed either. And so it's just sort of something you learn to live with or whatever. But in 2018, the actual owner of the Titan Quest IP is THQ Nordic. They bought this up when THQ went out of business a few years ago. And they actually re-released this game on mobile under their own name in the App Store. As many of us know, though, that caused a problem where you had to rebuy it even if you owned the .mu version.
They made it, like free for 2 days or something, though, didn't they?
No, I don't think they did. Not in this case. That's what a lot of people have done in the past or whatever. In this case, it was basically like, well, here's the new version. You'd have to rebuy it, which I did because I assumed, oh, well, if it's going to go under THQ Nordic's name, that must mean they're going to put it in active development. So this will get full screen and maybe it'll get some of the content updates and bug fixes that it needs and blah, 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 blah. So I didn't really hesitate to rebuy it thinking I would prefer to have the actively developed version, even if it means having to rebuy this game. It's a great game. It was kind of cheap even when it first came out. And so having to rebuy it a few years later wasn't the end of the world to me or whatever. And then later that same year in 2018, this is like April, I think, like later that fall, that version got pulled and they re-released it under the Handy Games label, which is a studio that THQ Nordic bought a few years back. And they're more of a mobile developer. And so when that happened, it was like, okay, this makes more sense to me that they'd have like their in-house mobile development studio working on a mobile game. But also, why didn't you do this in the first place? They also did it in a way that wasn't transferable. So you had to rebuy the game for a third time if you wanted to have the Handy Games published version now. And so even in the article when I wrote about all this back in 2018, I showed my purchase history. I have three different Titan Quests, all identical, all installed on my phone, all at the same time. And the kicker throughout all this was that none of these extra versions that got re-released had any fixes in them. They were all the same bugs and same stuff from the original 2016 version. No widescreen support, no nothing. So it was just like a really frustrating situation. But thankfully, the third time was a charm. The Handy Games version, they have been actively developing it. And then all throughout that next year in 2019, they released a bunch of updates, fixing a lot of bugs and adding widescreen or full screen support and stuff like that. And so I really did appreciate that. And so it kind of seemed like the whole situation was behind us, and we were finally with one version of Titan Quest that was going to be updated, right, and maintained, and whatever. And so when I saw this in our forum, somebody had posted a pre-order link for this Titan Quest Legendary Edition. The first thing I thought was like, okay, they're going to make me buy this game for a fourth time, aren't they? Because some shenanigans are going to happen. If I want to have the updated good version, I'm going to have to rebuy it again or something like that. But looking into it further, thankfully that's not the case. What Titan Quest Legendary Edition is, it's the original Titan Quest, and then it's the original Immortal Throne expansion pack that released the following year on PC. And then there's actually two other expansion packs that are more recent. THQ Nordic re-released this game as a 10th anniversary edition on PC and consoles back in 2017, I think. And since that time, they actually have created two brand new expansions for this game. So Titan Quest Legendary Edition is basically the original game plus all three of its expansions all in one app that you can buy that's $17.99. And along with all the additional content, it's said to have like a complete technical overhaul. So it'll be hopefully not as buggy and stuff like that. A lot of people are speculating it's basically the original iOS version was just a port of the original PC version, and that this version is actually going to be a port of the 10th anniversary of edition. So it'll have all of those fixes in it. And I think it's on a updated engine or whatever. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully it really is a much more, you know, stable kind of game, but either way, really excited to have the expansion stuff come out for this, because I think it just makes the game so much better. And then I've never played the newer expansions either. Even though I own this game on PC, I don't play games. I just buy them. So cool to check this all out. $17.99, you can pre-order it right now. If you don't already own Titan Quest, the Handy Games version, right now. The cool thing is they're bringing all of these updates and they're bringing all the expansions to the existing version. And you'll just be able to buy them as separate in-app purchases or whatever. But the technical updates and stuff like that will come to the original version anyway. Also, that version, I'm not sure if it still is or not, but it was on sale. It's normally $7. It was on sale for a couple of bucks, and it's been on sale as low as $1 before. So I feel like conceivably, depending on how much the DLCs cost, you could have got a pretty crazy deal on this. It looks like it's back up to normal $7 price now. But anyway, so that's making me think that the DLC packs will probably be in the $4 to $5 range, something like that. But anyway, it's up to you. If you don't own this already, you can pre-order this one and then have everything all in one package. Or if you already own the original game, you can just choose to buy the DLC expansions at your leisure, which I think is a good way.
It's interesting to think like that this game must still be doing well after all these years for like how much they've been fiddling with it, right? Because you would kind of assume this game would have like the life cycle of a typical premium game where it's like kind of no one really cares about it anymore.
I don't think so. I think it's done well. And I think,
I wonder if it's because even like, there's like really no equal to it. If you want like a premium kind of like dungeon crawlery kind of thing, it's like Titan Quest or I don't even know.
Yeah. If you want something that's like Diablo and premium on mobile, this is sort of it. Except for maybe a couple of very indie, rough around the edges sort of stuff that has tried to do their own thing. But this is like full blown AAA take on Diablo. Yeah, nothing really like it. Same was true back in 2016. It's the same as today. Really a good game, and really looking forward to play this updated version. It launches on February 2nd. And yeah, I'll probably just update. I already own it. Obviously, I bought it 3 times. So I'll just update the my version and see how the DLC works and all that stuff. But excited to play it. And I know this has a really strong following on PC too, because I think you know, mods and stuff like that have kind of kept it.
I wonder if that's what's been keeping the mobile version kind of alive, is like PC people are like, oh, I love this game so much, like I want it on my phone too.
Yeah, could be. Also, won't be in the February 2nd update, but worth noting that they are going to bring controller support to this game too, which is something people have been wanting for a really long time. So that'll be at a later date, but it is in the works. And I think that'll be a big deal, something that a lot of people that like mobile games that also play PC games hate touchscreen controls and don't ever want to spend the time to adapt to them.
Which
I guess I can understand. So controller support will be good for that. But anyway, so moving on, we got a Fantasian update, a new screenshot, and word that it's going to release this year. In case you didn't know, Fantasian was one of the original Apple Arcade games that was teased, and it's from Mistwalker Studio, which is the guy who created Final Fantasy's studio. And this game was heavily featured in some of Apple's original Apple Arcade videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, wasn't this the game where it was like a lot of people looking forward to this, and it was like, where's that game from the Final Fantasy guy that was so heavily promoted? And it was just like crickets. Yes.
I actually, Mikhail, I think, said the same thing in this article about it. It's like, I had a bunch of friends that subscribed to Apple Arcade strictly for this game, and then when it never came, they've since canceled their subscription. So, this is the game that's like, its sort of gimmick, I guess, is that they're building real life sets for these and then photographing them and then superimposing like game characters onto them or whatever.
Yeah, one of the initial Apple Arcade videos like shows a lot of
the
sets and stuff they were building. I can't even imagine how much Apple spent on this game. It had to be millions of dollars, right?
Oh, for sure. But it's also like kind of a neat idea to kind of like blend those two things together or whatever. So I'm sort of interested to see how this all turns out and see how it actually translates to if it's a good game or not. But we were joking too, because originally the fact that it's coming out in 2021 was actually revealed on January 1st, like this minutes past midnight of the new year or whatever. And we were joking that like, you know, that's like the ultimate strategy is to wait until the brand new year to announce something's coming out this year, and it gives you a full 365 days to be right or whatever. But anyway, they did release a new screen, and it does seem like the Mistwalker Twitter has been posting more in development stuff. So hopefully it does actually come out this year. Hopefully it's not like a December 31st at 11:59 p.m. release or something like that. Because I am interested in checking this out. I thought it looked really cool ever since the beginning. But yeah, it's going on 2 years since this thing was first shown off. So God,
has it really been that long?
That's how long ago Apple Arcade was announced. Isn't that weird? Yeah. So anyway, Fantasian from Mistwalker on its way this year. New screen released, and probably more new screens and info will trickle out in the coming months. Whew, running out of gas. I just wanted to point everyone to an interview that we did with Feral Interactive. Actually, Mikhail did this a while back, actually. I think it's from November or something like that. And asked a bunch of really interesting questions and got a lot of really interesting answers from Feral. Like, obviously, they have to kind of, you know, watch what they say in terms of like plans for future releases and stuff like that. But I thought Mikhail did a really good job of actually asking interesting stuff. And then one of the talking points we kind of ran with, which is kind of got a lot of other people online talking about this interview, was them doing an Alien Isolation port, which isn't in the cards, isn't officially announced, but I feel like there's a wink and a nod in their responses somewhere. And Alien Isolation, I do feel like could work on mobile with touchscreen controls or controller support or something like that. And I think it's given, what was the Alien Isolation spinoff game that came out a couple years ago that people were mad hell about? Because Alien Twitter account or something teased that it was going to be this new game. Everyone thought it would be a new console game, and it was a mobile game.
I remember the drama, but not the name of the game.
I don't either, but it was it's a really good game. It was like Alien does Five Nights at Freddy's, actually.
Yeah, shit. What was that called? That's going to bug me.
Searching Alien on Touch Game will probably bring up way too much. Alien Blackout. Alien Blackout. Yes,
there you go. Yeah, I thought that game was cool. I don't know.
Really, really well done. And like taken as a companion game to Alien Isolation, I think was. It's really, really good in that sense. I think it's just it's all about expectation sometimes. And I think teasing it as this new thing in the Alien Isolation world and then having it be a mobile game is just a huge letdown for a lot of people that have been hoping for a proper console or PC sequel to the original. So, but yeah, I think if you're super...
it was so stupid though, because it was like a really well done, cool game. Like,
yeah. And it ended up doing well, but, I think if you're a really big fan of Alien Isolation and the Alien series in general, you would love something that's like a really good fan service, like side story. You know what I mean? Like a complimentary sort of thing.
But they gamers
really market it as that. Yeah. And I think that was probably the problem, but anyway, so yeah, Alien Isolation port, not actually announced, but was discussed, among a bunch of other things, like, they touch on like premium game pricing and stuff like that. And, them, you know, Feral Interactive, I didn't know this at the time, has been around since the 90s. And, they're responsible really for bringing so many games to Mac that would have, and Linux, mm-hmm. that would have never been on those platforms.
Yeah. That's how I originally remember them. They were a lot like Freeverse, and they were like very OG, yeah. like Mac studio.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, a good interview. Lots of interesting questions. Definitely read the Feral Interactive interview that we posted this week if you have not done so already. So, yeah, that's all I had to talk about this week. And I think we might be hitting up against the time anyway, right? Sort of?
Yeah. I got a lot of betting to do after this, too. I think I'm going to take the Flyers money line tonight.
Oh, I look forward to hear how this is going next week. There will be like 3 or 4 new Supreme arcade machine cabinets.
You don't lose. You don't lose when you download DraftKings and use my affiliate code.
Guys, there's no downside to gambling. I don't know if anybody's told you this, but there is.
You only
zero
win. You literally only win. Like if you lose, you just call up the DraftKings support and tell them you want to undo that bet. It's real easy.
Yeah. This sounds like Michael Scott learns gambling. So anyway,
I wonder how many support tickets do you think they get where they're like, I did that bet on accident after like the game is over or whatever, you know.
My kid got a hold of my phone and placed those bets. It's like Smurf berries all over again. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully your luck stays hot.
It's not luck, it's analytical choosing. Based Reddit on analytics. Whoever writes the longest, most convincing thing about all the different players and everything else, that's who I'm going with.
Okay, I'm going to actually make a post on the subreddit. It's just lorem ipsum stuff over and over again, but it'll look huge.
I know. I read it. I read it all to hear about like the goalies problems and things like that. You know.
Yeah. 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 Hopefully keeps working out for you. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. As always, Touch Arcade is primarily supported through our readers and our listeners and our viewers. So if you like what we do and want to see us continue doing it, please check out patreon.com/touch arcade. Consider throwing a little support our way. Our Patreon continues to trend upward. So thank you again to everyone who has contributed.
That's great news. Yeah.
All the new Patreons that we've gotten in the last week. And you can also help us out by doing your Amazon shopping at toucharcade.com/Amazon. And by using that link first, we will get a little kickback of anything you'd be buying on Amazon anyway. And that is at no extra cost to you. Also, we didn't do any Game Club shilling this week either. 2 weeks in a row without Game Club shilling. I'm starting to get the jitters from not shilling Game Club.
The itch.
You can do a free trial. Free 30-day trial of Game Club on either iOS or Android by hitting up the banner link on our front page, and definitely suggest doing so if you haven't already. I highly doubt anybody listening to this podcast hasn't tried out Game Club yet, but just in case, do the free trial because it's a catalog full of premium mobile game experiences, no in-app purchases, no ads, no bullshit. Can you put that as an official tagline? Like, Game Club, no bullshit.
I do like it. I'll give you my. You know what you really need to do is sign up for DraftKings. With DraftKings, it's the premier way to bet online. You just download easy from the App Store. You sign up. Your first bet's free. use if you want to download it here, I'll give you my affiliate link. It's sportsbook.draftkings.com/r/sb/hodaparoni /US-TN-SB.
I'll put your affiliate link in the show notes, okay, if that'll make you happy. And then you split any proceeds with me though.
Well, so if you put $100 in, you get a free $100, and then you can just withdraw the $100 you put in. That's what I did. I was like, all right, well,
so you play with your free $100.
Play with free money. Why would I spend money on this dumb shit?
Yeah. I remember something. They did something similar on PokerStars back in the day that led to me spending a lot of money on PokerStars. But anyway, okay. So I'll put Eli's affiliate link in the show notes. Sign up for DraftKings. Apparently, our sponsor is no longer Coors Light. We're now sponsored by DraftKings only.
I haven't drank in the longest time, so now I'm just on to straight gambling. No, just a sponsor.
I have a new vice that we can be sponsored by, and it's called
DraftKings. It's not a vice if you always win. How is it a vice? It's a money-making. I'm a professional gambler.
Yeah.
I am a profitable gambler. That makes me a professional gambler.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. I can't argue with that. So
there you go.
Anyway, Thanks again for listening to this week's episode, and we will be back with a new episode of the Touch Arcade Show next week.
See ya.